So I'm going to cover this story and I've got other things to say about it. I think I'll upload this to a BitChute channel so that I can promote the use of the talk folder and Oranos amongst people who are aware of me. So it's regards to a BBC article. Now, what I'm telling you, the mainstream media is not your friend, but this BBC article will give you a lot of insight into what's really going on in the world. So who killed young Chechen women who fled Russia for a life of freedom? Now, there's a photograph that goes along with that headline, and it's this really pretty, fertile, woman with a very innocent face. She's in colour, but the background is shown Russia in black and white, with various cracks and stuff like that. You know, it's a very. I'll put this onto the BitChute channel. Obviously, I can't put it into the audio folder of talk and oranos.org. But just to describe the picture, and underneath the picture it says, Aisha told her friends she had been raised in a strictly religious family. Now, what you're about to notice here is that the BBC is anti-religious. The BBC's perspective, and this is the whole European Broadcasting Union, is that religion is a problem because the media corporations want to be the only god which is worshipped, and they promote the idea that religion is the cause of wars. No, the governments are the cause of wars. That should be pretty much obvious. I have a very strange religion. I was originally a Christian, but I was put off by the spiritual beliefs of various Christian religions and even Islamic religions. You know, to some extent, these religions are corrupted by political powers. And my goal, spiritually, is to discern what the truth is about the spiritual stuff. So I've rejected organized religion in face of, what is, the spiritual experiences that I've had. And, it's a personal relationship with God is ultimately where these religions ought to be leading. But that's not quite, what's going on. But the BBC is always attacking religion, and they're also attacking Russians. So this is anti-religious propaganda, anti-Islamic propaganda, and anti-Russian propaganda, which is very much what the BBC is all about. It's not some neutral journalistic source of information. They have multiple agendas, and when you're consuming their television content, even their soap operas, you find their agenda is threaded into the plots. They have an agenda to deceive the people, to propagandize the people, to convince people of things that the manufacturers of this information don't even care if it's true. Their goal is to persuade people and disregard, to persuade you to believe stuff, and they don't even care if it's true. You know, a liar would try to convince you of something that's false. But in a big corporate way, there are liars at the top that are wanting to convince you of things that are false. But the people that are conducting the daily business of these propaganda outfits, they don't even care whether it's true or false. They'll just read from the teleprompter. And when someone comes up with a story like this, oh, it's an absolute bing for the BBC. You know, it's wow, anti-Russian, anti-Islamic, and it's got this beautiful maiden right at the heart of the story, you know. Do you want to go and rescue the princess like those video games that you used to play? Because that's kind of war propaganda. They want you to go and hate the Russians, to fill your heart with war, to support a regime of terrorism that's still engaged in Highland clearances. So I'll read the story. When 23-year-old Aisha by, excuse my Russian, Aisha by Maradova fled her home last year, she believed she finally had a chance to live the way she wanted. Coming from Chechnya, a conservative Muslim republic in Russia, she cut her hair short, stopped covering her head, shaved off part of her eyebrows, and posted quirky selfies on Instagram. That's the sort of behaviour that the BBC loves, you know. Reject religion, hate the Russians, and post your selfies on Instagram. You want to see this picture? It's a really beautiful, pretty woman, you know, with a black and white, you know, it's concocted, you know, it's not just like a photograph. It's something that's been stitched together by propagandists. She told her new friends she could finally breathe. In October, Aysharp was found dead in a rented flat in neighbouring Armenia. Police say she was murdered. And so the story continues, but the story's all about, you know, how this beautiful maiden was murdered by the Russians. The Russians trying to flee this Islamic Republic within Russia. Bullshit. BBC, bullshit. They don't even care what the truth is. And it's, they've got an agenda to get you to hate the Russians. Because the Russians are not your enemy. The Russians are the enemy of the regime which enslaves you. It's their problem, not yours. When you're, you know, starving, being sanctioned from the dome, when you're having your children stolen, being the victim of all these crimes against humanity, tracking APs, Nuremberg Code violations. Remember that the people that are doing this to you have enemies, that, and the problems they're creating for you, it's your problems, it's not the people who are creating these problems for you who are to blame. You know, that's the official story. You've got your own problems because you're disobeying the master race. They've got problems and they want their problems to be shared by you. Their problems with the Russians is, and their problem with the Muslims, it's their problems, not yours. So just, it's none of your business, you know. It's a regime of terror that has no legitimacy. That hates the Russians. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be ruled over by the Russians, but if the Russians destroy the people who are enslaving our people, thanks Russia. That was a very friendly deed you did. So you might say I'm pro-Russian. I'm not pro-Russian. I am anti-European Union. I am anti-master race. I am anti-Highland clearances. I am anti-worker exploitation. And their version of reality is, oh, the nation states that print their own money out of thin air who are exploiting all their peasants. Which nation state do you support? I don't support any of them. And your anti-religious ideology, I don't support that either. You know, one of the things that were said about Russians during the Cold War is that it was atheist. Religion was banned. And you want to hear this, like, how can you have an Islamic Republic in Chechnya and Russia? You know, what was it, underground religion that was going on during the Soviet Union, when it was atheism was the only religion that was permitted? I've met other people from the former Soviet Union who were just practicing religion normally, and the official story of what was going on in the Soviet Union during the Cold War simply wasn't the truth. It was propaganda. And at the end of the Cold War, you know, they were very quick to create new wars. The European Union has divorced Europe from Europe to pluck out its policemen and soldiers from all those people who reject that authoritarian regime, which it necessarily is, given all the information that's now available to you, because you just couldn't believe that the nutty conspiracy theorists could have been telling very simple truths that you were being distracted from. So that's a whole story going on at the BBC, and you can see why it's prominent. That's not people who are attempting to report information that's important to you. Because, you know, the whole story, I'm not going to read a whole article from Propaganda Centre UK, you know. But, you know, there's a whole load of story there about how it was that Russian spies came and they killed her, and various evil stuff went on at the hands of this evil government. There is nothing that the Russian government is doing to its own political dissidents. The European Union's government is not doing to dissidents in the European Union. You know, there is nothing they could say against Russia that they themselves are not committing in a more grossly inhumane way than any other country in the world. Now that's quite a big statement to make. Now what I'm saying is, like, the Soviet Union was an evil dictatorship before our eyes when we were kids, and the war propagandists would say that we were exaggerating a wee bit, but it was a very bad place. We just made it a very, very bad place to drive home the message of how evil it was. And that fictional evil Russia, you know, it was an evil Russia, but they're saying it's a fictional evil Russia. They made it look even worse than what it was compared to what's going on in Europe right now. The fictional evil Russia is comparatively better the fictional evil Soviet Union is comparatively better than what we're actually living in right here, right now. And the media hasn't reported any of this because they have an agenda. That agenda involves encouraging people to support abortion, to support homosexuality. They say, I don't know if you know what a eunuch is, or you're aware that Catholic priests are oath sworn, not to God, but to their religion, to chastity, to basically cut their balls off, basically, in a kind of way that's not so blood curdling. You know, I shall never have sex and have children. They've now developed that into homosexual culture, they've developed that into transsexual culture, and people cut, you know, people prevented from having births within the groups in violation of the Genocide Convention. Religions have always rallied against these ideologies, and the BBC hates religion. It can't quite denounce Christianity, but the kind of Christianity that it permits is very, you know, soft Christianity. The soft Christianity that, oh, Jesus would love the BBC, especially when they're warmongering against the Russians, when they're making up shit about Donald Trump, when they're deceiving the public mind for the cradle to the grave. Oh, Jesus would love them. That's the version of Christianity that's presented to you by the BBC. And considering how dominant they are, the actual religions which are permitted, you know, by a system which, you know, like, what they were doing was basically like, hey, church, do you want to make more money? Do you want more donations? Get your congregation to sign up to this deal whereby some of the taxes that they'll be paying to the government will go directly to your church. How's that for a deal? And a lot of the churches signed up to that deal. Well, those churches were shut down during the lockdowns because they were reliant on those government funds. If they didn't obey the government. And that within Christianity is considered like a sacrifice that you make. You sacrifice that hour on a Sunday. As many of the sacrifices you would make as a Christian. And they prevented the day like that sacrifice from happening amongst Christians. And they're a political organisation pretending that they're journalists. And they hate religion. And they're into killing babies by, you know, by way of abortion direct, or by way of, you know, genociding people using transsexual and lesbian memes, even selling this to children. So there's a part of the BBC called BBC Bite Sized, and it's for, you know, young children who are, well, older children, I suppose, who are studying for their exams before they become an adult, you know, before they reach the age of majority, they have to sit school exams. So BBC Bite Sized provides content that helps them to, you know, learn, educate themselves and what they need to know to pass their exams. But there's distractions within it. You know, if you're bored studying maths, or you're bored studying geography, here's a story about a teen celebrity that you might be interested in, and you go and look at the teen celebrity and it's promoting lesbianism to children. And you know, when I express these things, the automatic reaction from those type of people is, oh, you hate lesbians. It's like, no, I hate genocide. I hate people promoting lesbianism to children. And if those children, like, you know, grow up and they, you know, maybe want to participate in a bit of lesbianism or homosexuality just to see what it's like, it's their body. Do what you want, mate, you know. But when people are pushing those lifestyles, that is genocide, as described in the Genocide Convention. And they're committing these crimes openly, and they're anti-Christian, they're anti-Islamic, they're anti-Jewish. They are the proverbial Satan to all of these Abrahamic faiths. And you want to see their various, you know, I was telling you in the last audiocast about, you know, praying to the devil, all those people that work the system, see their attitudes towards religion. It's a problem for them. I came across this teacher who was like, oh, I've got this pupil, and our parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's a real pain to have to deal with. And it's like, well, you decide to be a teacher, you're there to look after someone else's children. They just don't get it, you know. And the military, you know, these guys are absolute, you know, anti-religion, to the point of, you know, they want to destroy Islamic people, they want to destroy Catholics, they want to destroy, and do you know who's to blame for all the wars in the world? Well, it's not the soldiers with all their anti-religious rhetoric, no, it's the religions. The false accuser, that is the very meaning of the word Satan. But you know, if you've been living in the fake reality show of fake religion, then you don't even know what Satan is. Satan and Lucifer and the devil, it's all something to do with the same thing as really understand it. And yet you think you're living in a Christian country, you're living in a satanic country. Ruled by Satanists, by the Satanists, for the Satanists, and you're their cattle. That's simple, horrible truth, but simple. And then that's a story in the BBC. You know, do you want to rescue the princess? You know, how many of these beautiful women are there escaping Russia? Will you go and rescue them from the evil clutches of Vladimir Putin? That's what they're doing to children. You know, there's children consuming this stuff, thinking, oh, she's really pretty. I could, you know, maybe if I went over and get, it's a vector towards, you know, young men or young boys or older boys, you know. Enjoy it. This is called, you know, recruiting child soldiers. You know, officially they don't sign their name the dotted line until they're 16, but they're already propagandized by various techniques that are deliberately designed like that. That's what they're doing to children. And then what do the military say? Oh, watch out for child rapists. Do you know how many children were raped in Iraq? And oh, the soldiers going on, the former soldiers going on about, oh, the Catholic Church is full of paedophiles. Oh, those Islamic people are full of rape. No, the actual reality is that in these war zones, children get raped by soldiers. And the various, you know, priests and moshies and rabbis and the various hierophantic figures will come to the rescue if they can, risking their own lives against guys with guns, and they've got no weapons, no shield. Knowing what these soldiers have done, bearing witness, and some of them have escaped, and now they need to, like, you know, destroy the witnesses, destroy the credibility of the witnesses that seen what they did in the battlefield. And you don't get to hear that in the BBC, you know, because when there are people escaping political persecution from Britain, being killed by government figures who are following them about, that's not reported in the BBC. It's not reported in any European Union media. The European Union's vassal states would never, ever, ever commit crimes against humanity, and suicide clinics don't count. Vaccine pushing doesn't count. You know, but they would never commit crimes against humanity. It's only the evil people that they need to invade and annex to own and control all the tax cattle that live in those territories. And that's what it's all about. You're a slave. And you might be so proud that it's difficult for you to accept that that is a situation. It ought not to be, but it's what is. You disobey your master, they say it's a crime. When you're the victim of a real victimful crime, the system does not assist you. At best, it will give you some, you know, victim support. Try to convince you that the system's still good, even though it couldn't do anything in this particular circumstance, which is something they're doing on a mass scale to everyone. So I'd like to tell you about the times when I've came across situations where I've witnessed a scene where the media's involved recording that scene. And you know, the first time it happened, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, because I was seeing this but the media was reporting that. And my awareness was that the media was telling the truth. And I was telling the truth as other media's misreported in that one particular incident. But every incident that they're reporting on, there is an agenda. I now realise this, you know, this is no, it's no longer just one time that I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen two or three times, and I've came across others who are witnessing the fact that when they've witnessed events that the media has covered, the media has reported with an agenda. And it's not the truth. And it never is the truth. When they're covering an event, they don't cover it. Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman, their naked bodies were found outside a US military base, never reported in the media. You know, this was something that you found out through various human rights circles. Ian Huntley never got a fair trial because it not reported in the media. You know, what the media was doing was showing photographs of the eyes of Ian Huntley asking, is this a killer? While it was still to go to trial. Nobbling every juror by making, you know, those suggestions all over the media. That's called contempt of court. If I was to report, you know, an ongoing court case or a case that was to come into court and try and, you know, convince people that this man could be guilty, that's called jury nobbling. The mainstream media do that on a regular basis, and they do so with impunity. You might not have noticed it, but it's been going on your whole life. Now that it's been related to you, you might start noticing it. These people are not your friends. these people want to rape your children in ways that Gary Glitter never could. Gary Glitter, I don't know whether he's alive or dead, but he denied it to, you know, the last I heard, that he had any involvement in sexual child abuse. But he was character assassinated by the media, along with like Michael Jackson, Julia Somerville, Dave Lee Travis. These were like famous, iconic figures in the world that existed before the European Union was formed. In the 90s, when the European Union was forming, you know, they like to say, oh, it was 1972. No, because I was alive in 1973. The European Union did not exist back then. There was a thing called the common market, but it was about, you know, rules for people that trade tomatoes, not rules for slaves that need to obey a system that was never democratically elected. You know, it was a big thing happened in 93, but it was silence in the media about how grave the situation was. Big figures, that there was a guy called Sir Patrick Moore. It was on the, I think it was like very, you know, popular back in maybe the 60s and 70s. He was an old man by the time the 90s came along, and he was doing a thing called The Sky at Night. Every month, he would have like an hour to talk about the stars, you know, outer space and stuff like that, you know, and the Hubble telescope and various stuff like that. He was like very, you know, wealthy, and he came from wealth, so it was very difficult for them to shut that guy down. But he didn't have that sort of Sky at Night platform. He didn't use that in any political manner. But when people were like, look, this is very seriously concerning, our democracy's being abolished, he stood with us, and he started creating videos and amalgamations with other, what they called, Eurosceptics. Eurosceptics, originally people who believed that the true intention of the Federalists was to create a federal European state that everyone would have to obey. And this way, the Eurosceptics predicted what actually happened to the European Union. Well, the Eurofederalists pretended that they weren't intending to do what they did. The Eurosceptics predicted what their actual intent was, and the Eurofederalists did what the Eurosceptics predicted, despite the Eurofederalists claiming they would never do that. They did it. They've always lied about what their true intent is. I mean, I'm 52, you know, this was going on when I was 19. I've never had like an adult life because, you know, circumstances have worked their way into my life where I can't have, you know, I've always, you know, desired to have a 19th birthday party. That's the way I describe it. And for you, it's like, well, I've just woke up to COVID 2020. So maybe I can be of some use to you. And you know, some people regard me as some boring fuddy duddy, you know, that's irrelevant in the modern day. But the reality is, nothing changes. The things that were going on in Galilee and Nazareth back then, it's the same stuff that's going on today. The stuff that was going on in ancient Egypt, it's the same stuff. You know, the clothes that they wear, and the food that they eat, and the stuff that they, but ultimately that a man holding a whip to a fellow human being, claiming they're the good guys because of the government. That's going on, and it's going on throughout history. And they don't want you to know that, and there's many people that will join at the hip with people that do that. And they hate religion. Why? Because religion denounces everything these people have ever done in history. They're Satanists because they're false accusers, not because it's just some sensational phrase. It is what it is. And, you know, to, you know, people that they enslave, they are the devil. But to those people who are standing up against slavery, well, we're the devil to them, because the devil means adversary. And that word Lucifer is like a unique context that goes into spirituality, so I'm not even going to go into the real meaning of Lucifer here. But they don't even care. They've got no interest in religion other than to use it as a propaganda tool. They hate religion because religion, you know, from Zoroaster's description of Ahura Mazda, Moses, that all of these people have stood against the authoritarians. They hate religion, and they claim religions are the cause of war. Well, stop behaving like tyrants, stop behaving like bullies, stop stealing people's children, stop engaging in wars. It's not religion that's the cause of wars, it's the military that voluntarily joined to do that. And they're not doing it now in Britain, they're not doing it to protect our sovereignty, because we don't have it. they're not doing it to protect law and order, because the only order which exists is a Nazi regime. They're not doing it to protect their human rights, because their human rights are not being protected by that regime. The only reason they're doing it is for a paycheck. And there's poor people, you know, that will join the military because, you know, it's either that or starve, be sanctioned from the dole. This is the realities of the system that you're living in. And they want you to believe it's a democracy and trust the media. It's an absolute fraud, absolute con artistry. And whenever they're on about child abuse, considering how many children they've slaughtered in Iraq, how many children they want slaughtered in Ukraine. For these people to talk about child abuse, it's like, are you in bed with the system? Do you work in a civil service job? Do you work in the for the police? Do you work as like a government or official? And they'll say, no, I don't. It's like, but you're wearing a police costume, but you. And so, no, I'm not the government, no. It's like, yeah, but are you working for the system? And they'd have to acknowledge, like, well, yeah, I am. It's like, so what have you got to say about child rape or like any crimes that are going on, given the system that you are taking the money from, given what that's doing? What right do you have to speak amongst the people you're assisting to enslave? Absolutely no right at all, because they've committed crimes against humanity that remain at large. Now, it turns out in the Soviet Union, religion was practiced, and it was a multi-religious society, because you had Muslims sitting there in Chechnya, you had Christians up in Lithuania. All over the Soviet Union, people were practicing religions, Orthodox religion mainly, Orthodox Christianity. But the official story in the media was that Russians were atheist, and if you're a Christian, if you're a good Christian, you should hate the Russians. Although they're coming back to that propaganda, you know. But you have to remember the War on Terror. The BBC have still to, you know, be brought to trial for war crimes. The BBC have still to be brought to trial for crimes against the sovereignty of the United Kingdom. The BBC has still to be brought to trial for child abuse that goes way beyond simple sex. You know, if I was to stick my dick up a wee child's butt, you know, the time as a grown adult, it would be like, that guy fucked me up the arse. They would know. But the child abuse that's going on in terms of like psychological child abuse, physical child abuse, and what they're even convincing, you know, persuading parents to do to their own children. You know, maybe not as extreme as abortion in all circumstances, but to kill their own children, but to destroy and fuck up the minds of your children. Because and they're actually, you know, grooming parents to say, oh, do you have a child that's a conspiracy theorist? And you've got to have a conspiracy theorist. And that is like, if you are someone who is presents the regime for what it is, you're a conspiracy theorist. Whereas if you just parrot off the contradictions in the BBC, then you're not a conspiracy theorist. I am proudly that, but I wouldn't call myself a conspiracy theorist. And to me, to call it a truther is just basically it's a response to them, their hate speech conspiracy theorist threads. There's no such thing as really a truth. It's just people being honest with one another about what's really going on in the world. These people have shouted conspiracy theorists at that simple, truthful behaviour amongst human beings, because it denounces everything they stand for. And in response to that, the conspiracy theory, the so-called conspiracy theorists, just being normal people, have decided to call themselves truthers in response to being accused by BBC hate speech of being conspiracy theorists. And it's not just the BBC, you know, the whole European Broadcasting Union, and to whatever extent they've influence over the rest of the media in the world, you know, these are using that conspiracy theorist phrase. But it's just ordinary people engaged in ordinary conversation, and there are some people in your family that will be sitting there believing the media, and you try reaching to them, especially when they're in the position of power. You know, it's like, oh, this is how you should speak to the spirits, this is how you should speak to the conspiracy theorists in your family. And they started behaving according to that. You know, the sort of people that say, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, when you're sitting there, look, the vaccines don't work. I'm sorry you feel that way. No, I mean, the vaccines don't work. This is not like feelsy emotional stuff. This is like scientific fact that vaccines that don't work are not effective. the propaganda in your television telling you they're effective simply isn't true, because when people get the vaccines, they don't work. They don't fulfill the purpose of a vaccine, so they're ineffective. This is not because I feel that way, it's because it's the way it is, and they're sorry you feel that way. They're incapable of acknowledging the truth. That's how guilty they are. The slightest hint that these people, it's impossible that they could be that stupid and hold these jobs that they've got, the positions of power, but they act that way because that's a plausible deniability, which is gone. The only plausible deniability they have is over those people they're keeping in deception in their television mind control systems, telling you, oh, slavery, all at 400 years ago during the transatlantic slave trade, or modern slavery, these people coming over in rubber dinghies. No, the system of slavery that you're involved in, well, you're denying the simple truth you can't even acknowledge because you're up to your neck in guilt every day. And what I was saying, I think it might have been the first audio cast in this, talk folder of the Oranos.org website. What I was saying was, there'll be very, very few of them that will admit what it is they are. But they all kind of know what they are. But they're going to deny it to the hilt. They're going to point blank deny it. They're going to prevent conversations from happening that gets into the nitty-gritty of what they're really all about. In a very few and far between situation, you will find people that denounce the system, that deceive them to assist the system to destroy people. Very, very few and far between. David Icke is a classic example. He worked in the media as a sports presenter, and when he found out what was really going on, he did his best to get onto a Terry Wogan show, make himself look like a lunatic, to start saying, look, there's something you need to see here. There was an American guy who was fighting the war on terror until he realized, actually, I'm the terrorist, and he went to a peace conference to say, look, I'm the guilty party here and I'm sorry. He didn't become some big prominent person in the movement, he was just merged into the crowd. He recognised the evils that he was perpetrating, not through, he didn't have like a guilty mind, but he did guilty actions, As far as he was aware, he was doing the right thing until he worked out what was really going on, and immediately U-turn 180 degrees, I'm having nothing to do with that. These situations are very, very few and far between. Before the lockdowns, the full truth was presented to these authoritarians, and they just ignored. Not that they didn't ignore it, to ignore it is just to say, oh, I'm not listening to you. But to delete that people were saying that, to censor that people were saying that, that's not ignorance, that's deliberate deception of the public mind at once, to censor people to, and then say, it's because they're racist, it's because they're misogynist, because now you've listened to what I've got to say. Do I sound racist? Do I sound misogynist? That this is the information they're censoring, and they've been doing it for years. And while they're censoring all this information, they're propagandizing people to say, we ought to censor Tommy Robinson because he's a racist, extremist, right-wing extremist. And the only people we'd censor is right-wing extremists, because we love you. Are you black? Are you a female? Are you an ethnic minority? You don't want to support the people that we are censoring. But who they're actually censoring, you don't even get to see unless you come across something like this. And now the censorship, internet censorship, where I basically speak online, and previously you could just be heard. And if I was like some ranting lunatic, people would be like, well, he's a ranting lunatic, But if I was speaking the truth, people would be like, well, that sounds a bit crazy. And then I could relate, well, actually, the Highland clearances are still going on. They would start to, this guy's actually reasonable, It doesn't matter how much propaganda, how much lies, how respectable these people look. When the truth is just told and the lies are just dispelled, that's it, it's gone, They can't stand that. Their regime is in constant collapse. Just like their currency. You think inflation is when the price of goods go up. The price of goods are always remaining the same. It's the price of the currency, the value of the. Do you know how much, if I was to get a butter, a tub of butter, and put it in a freezer or something like that, and then take out the butter and give it to, give it like you're going to buy butter, This is like 5 years later, you know, you're going to buy butter. It's like, here's some butter, give me the money that you would have paid for the butter. And I take the money and I go and buy bread with that money. The amount of money that I'm using to buy that bread is more, but I'm getting the same value of butter, I'm getting the same value of bread. It's all the goods are the exact same price in relation to one another. But in relation to the currency itself, well, the currency has fallen in value, so you need more of it to afford the same thing. That's what inflation is. It's not the price of goods going up, it's the value of the currency falling. Not the story that's told on the media. The whole regime is built on lies. Well, that's wrong. The whole regime is built on the threat of violence. The lies cover up the threat of violence. Well, the threat of violence is pretty obvious. If you disobey a policeman, if you disobey a civil servant, if you disobey the master. But slavery's abolished, is the official story. Is that the truth, really? Now, it's for your own good, or really? Really? Well, I'll just start my own wee cottage in the Highlands for my own good. You know, I'll decide it's my own best interest. I'm not having vaccine pushers using me like a guinea pig to see if, you know, how many peasants get killed. Bill Gates, before 2020, was on stage, publicly on display, and his words were pretty close to, we can use vaccines, healthcare, and reproductive healthcare in order to reduce the human population by as much as 15%. It's roughly a quote of what he said, you know, it's in a TED talk from February either 2018 or 2019. And he's on stage demonstrating his calculations for genocide of the human race. And within a year, 2 years, what happens? COVID. Do you know that 13 years prior to 2020, in 2007, David Icke was on a video that wasn't being reported in the media, but he was telling how there was a plan to introduce COVID, the lockdowns in 2020. David Icke was telling us about what their plans were 13 years before it happened. And the media, the official story in the media is, oh, this took us by surprise. But how could it have taken you by surprise? You're in bed with all the people who are engaged in all these crimes against humanity. You just willfully ignore people saying Nuremberg Code violations. It's very serious, you know. If you willfully ignored that, then, well, you're not innocent. You know, when people were talking about the Nuremberg Code, that was very serious allegations that had been made by members of your society that you had an obligation to look into. And if you read the Nuremberg Code and you seen what was going on in 2020, you ought to have known. And it turns out the vaccines are ineffective. What can they say? Oh, I'm sorry. That's good. That's a start. But now you need to recompense the victims of your crimes against humanity. So, you know, sorry's like a lovely word, but, you know, what are you going to do to back it up? How are you going to undo the damage that you've caused these people? You're a responsible person. You're in a position of responsibility. You're a responsible person willing to acknowledge that you messed up to the point where these people were injured by your failure. Now that you've failed, are you going to recompense the victims of your crimes? Or it was an accident. It was like tough cookies. It was an accident where these people were harmed. You caused that accident by your failure. Can you maintain that? Can you remain in that position, given a failure that you can't even take responsibility for the victims that you've harmed through your failure? Maybe it was an oopsie-daisy, but you're no longer capable of doing that job. It's a position of responsibility, and you've exercised no responsibility whatsoever. You've not engaged in anything to recompense the victims of your failing. It wasn't an oopsie-daisy for these people. These people knew you were messed up. You'd have ignored and hated those people who knew you were messed up. And they know you're messed up. And you now know that the vaccines didn't work. And you now know the Nuremberg Code was violated. But what they're going to do is absolutely no conversations permitted in this subject area. Why? Because it's harmful to their interest, their own self-interest. As for the members of the society that they're exercising power over, they don't give a shit. And they want to be in a position to steal your children. They want to be in a position to use you like a guinea pig. They want to be in a position to commit all the crimes against humanity that we're committing, and then double down on that, because it's what they've always been doing in history, even before the 2020. European Union integration should never have happened in a democracy like the United Kingdom. But it happened. Was it a democracy? questions have to be asked. I was a young adult at the time, you know, and as for, you know, the people who were there to guide and support and, you know, the authoritative figures in my life, you know, when I turned to them saying, look, there's no democracy, well, they gaslighted me to fake believe that I was imagining things. They couldn't even notice the surveillance cameras being pulled across the poor people's areas in Britain, as if nothing had changed. And only 4 years prior, well, 6 years prior to that, they're standing in a line saying, well, look what the Russians are doing to East Germany. And then when not the Russians did to Britain, they couldn't give a shit. So long as their circumstances were okay, but they love you. They're not capable of love. They're stormtroopers, they're clones. And when they came out with things, I'm sorry you feel that way. And you know fine well, it's got nothing to do with your feelings. You know, you're looking at objective reality, something they're refusing to acknowledge. They know what they're doing. They're not stupid. But they're treating you like an idiot. And they've got you over a barrel, is the simple truth here. Escaping from that is very much, you know, what this is all about. But the first tool is to wake up to the goggles that they've pulled over your eyes. You're not living in virtual reality in the sort of, you know, matrix sense of it. But, you know, if you've been believing the media, ignoring and hating the nutty conspiracy theorists, then there's a vast range of knowledge that you don't have, because the only opinions that are permitted within that matrix of false reality is fake reality. They don't even, the people producing these television programmes don't even care if it's the truth. And it's a pack of lies, basically. But they don't even care. And they're sitting there in prominent positions telling you what you should think, who you should hate, who you should know, how you should treat the nutty conspiracy theorists in your family. And as for the unvaccinated, well, we all know that it was them that killed Granny, not the unsafe and ineffective vaccines. And if they should ever mention the Nuremberg Code, just ignore and hate them and don't even look into the Nuremberg Code, because we don't need a referendum for the European Union, because we already know what people would vote for even before the referendum result gets announced. And when it did get announced, what happened to democracy? Well, you know, it's not legally binding. So we're living a totalitarian dictatorship that's deleting, you know, information that the children that they're abusing through their television networks need to know in order to work out what they're really living in. And that's what they're doing on a daily basis. That's their job. And they've become their job. You know, there's maybe people that have been there for like 6 months and it's like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here, I'm having nothing to do with this sick shit. But people that stay there, and then they need to maintain the illusion of, oh, don't talk about the Nuremberg Code, don't talk about COVID, don't talk about David Icke, don't talk about conspiracy theorists, and reject them from the various parties that all us tax-funded people can enjoy. That's how sick and twisted they are. And if we, you know, the people who are oppressed by this system, start having parties, well, the police will be looking into it, you know. So our parties need to be quiet, concealed from view. Not because we're making bombs, but because we're simply having conversations about the real world for what it really is. And the people that work the system are not invited, but they want to be in there. And they're going to be, oh, no, I'm not in the system. Look into them. Look into them very, very deeply. Many times I've came across plausible people, and then you work out, look at them, and you've got strange views in regards to that. You're hearing amongst people who are concerned about their liberty and their freedom from slavery and servitude in a system that's a fake democracy, and you hold these views, you're expressing these views, and then you look further in, oh, it's a former military guy who hasn't really left the military but is there to slip in. You know, that's what MI5 really is. It's not like James Bond in a sophisticated suit. It's a former military guy that gets a special easy life by, you know, infiltrating those people who would speak the truth amongst themselves without ever having raised a weapon of war or anything. The simple weapon of war of like communicating to one another how evil the system is, that to them is a threat. That's how extreme they are in their strict control of conversation, and they say they're protecting freedom of speech. Bullshit. Simple bullshit. You've been lucky enough to find this audio cast. And how, you know, if you're understanding what I'm saying, which I think most people who are not working the system can get, and you know, it might be, well, wait a minute, the views that I've heard from people I'm familiar with are not, it's not quite But yeah, it does kind of make sense. Is this conspiracy theorist playing some mind trick on me? Not mind tricks have been played against you your entire life. You're living in the Matrix. Oh, and there's more. You know, once you're over all the political lies and all the corruption of the people that work the system, that there's more. You're living in a matrix beyond that matrix. The spiritual deceptions that are going on in the world are incredible. So, you know, you think these politicians and the various policemen and civil servants and the people that support all of that and the people telling you to believe it because it's on TV, if you think they've got you around it, they don't love. They don't have the capacity, but if you do, if you are like, right now, I've mentioned Gaza, you know how it is that, you know, genocide is when Benjamin Netanyahu drops bombs in Gaza. But they don't talk about this when Putin's dropping bombs in Ukraine or when Zelensky's dropping bombs in Ukraine. You know, they don't call it genocide, but it's when the Jews do it, it's genocide. Well, the actual, you know, the genocide convention was written in the wake of Adolf Hitler, not exclusively doing it to the Jews, like the 6 million Jews in gas chambers story made up by mainstream media, but not the story of the International Red Cross, who were the international authorities back in those days. Their version of the Holocaust is very different from 6 million Jews dying in gas chambers. Millions of fucking peasants across Germany were killed simply for economic convenience of the Nazi regime. The Jews stood up to them and they got it in the neck for it. There was loads of gypsies killed, and the gypsies this day are in Britain, and they're not getting a nice life. They're being cast out of everywhere. And if they find a site to exist in, you know, they'll be lucky to remain there for very long before the system comes to destroy them. And yeah, they're telling me, oh, Adolf Hitler. And that's what they're actually doing to human beings in their own country. They regard us as some sort of, you know, we're cattle that have become so diseased. We've got distemper because we no longer are willing to give our milk to the master race. And you think you're living in a democracy. You've been gaslighted your entire life. And some of the people that you've trusted most, even the people amongst you, they don't love you, but they know that you've got the capacity for love. So in regards to the Gaza thing, you know, they maybe not see, you know, how perverse the propaganda is when there's Nuremberg Code violations in 2020. They say it's that what happened in Gaza is to do with the Geneva Convention. War crimes. But it's all known as Jewish genocide, classical psychological condition, classical conditioning it's called. That's what they're doing to people every day through the television networks. Jewish genocide. To slowly you build up this association in your mind that Jews and genocide. What about Nazis and genocide? You try and go into conspiracy theory circles and talk about Nazis and genocide, and you'll find them right, they'll come right out of the woodwork. There's tons of, like, you know, former military personnel who are involved in these conspiracy sites. And they want to promote Nazi ideology and conspiracy theory sites. The actual real conspiracy that were originally attacked by the mainstream media back through the 90s and stuff. But those people were not Nazi, they were anti-Nazi, because the European Union regime is a Nazi regime that imposed suicide clinics in Anne Frank's home country, and they would accuse their opposition. We don't mean their party politics opposition, but their political opposition would like to see a Europe. Well, those people were brought to justice for their crimes against humanity, their real political opposition. They try to present us as being the Nazis when we are simply telling the truth. We have no desire for political power, but if nobody's going to stand up to them and people are clueless and you care and you love about, you know, the human race, and you know what these people are doing and all their lies, you feel somewhat obligated to do something, to seek a position of responsibility that's being squatted by people who are just using the power to fuel their luxurious lifestyles comparatively to the people that they're enslaving. And they've had you convinced you're living in a democracy. So it's not just the politicians on your TV, you know, it's not just the TV celebrities and the pundits telling you that vaccines are safe and effective, and they couldn't even possibly know because there was no medical test to determine that. Emergency youth authorization, you know, experimental drugs, absolutely unambiguously Nuremberg Code violation, and they don't want you talking about that. And the official independent fact talkers, there is no evidence whatsoever that the Nuremberg Code has anything to do with, you know, subjecting people to information warfare and experimental medicines. And this is not the only crime against humanity these people have committed. 2007, they were committing Nuremberg Code violations against Granny long before they could blame it on the unvaccinated, who rejected Nuremberg Code violations outright. We were accused by the guilty of killing Granny by people issuing lethal vaccines to people. People who had chronic, they suffer chronic illnesses that they're not being reported in the media, who are reporting stories about beautiful maidens escaping Russia. They report nothing about the vaccine injured. And the official story is, it's me, the unvaccinated. I was the one that killed Granny. I never been near Granny. Not just because, it wasn't because I thought I would, you know, cause I knew the vaccines were fake, because, you know, I heard David Icke warning about this. So when I was hearing this story, I was like, well, that's quite radical. So I looked at the science and I was like, is the science even possible? Mathematically impossible. 2.4 was the R index, and over a period of 26 days, the entire population of the world would have been infected in the first 26 days. This was like late December 2019 that it started, according to the official story all over the media. And the R index was 2.4. And that would have meant within 26 days, if the R index was even relevant, that the entire population of the world would have been infected in 26 days. Months later, lockdowns, house arrest, bans in freedom of association, bans in freedom of assembly. That's the level that these creepy bastards have to go to maintain power that they don't deserve. They belong in a jail, not in positions of responsibility. And if you're working in the system and you recognise what's going on, there's got to come a day where you've got to toss out all the Nuremberg Code violators, all the people that were pushing those vaccines. You've got to toss them out, so that they're the people getting pushed onto the dole. And international observers will work out who these people are. And if these people turn out to be the people who are anti-vaccine, well, your regime is kaput. And as for, well, Russia's going to go to war with you, not my fucking problem. America's going to go to war with you, not my problem. China's going to go to war with you, not my problem. That's your problem, because you support the regime of terror, which is fake democracy, enslaving your people, and you aligned with that. You can no longer be part of our people because of what you've done to us. And when you talk like that, you know, what's going on inside their head is like, how dare he, the small minion, the small inferior person who has no power in the system, how dare he speak to me like that? I am a very special person. I am above the law, ultimately, is what they're saying. Now, I've got the Department of Work and Pensions declaring that the law is invalid within their premises. The High Court, their judgments don't matter. The policies of the Department of Work and Pensions, according to the Department of Work and Pensions' own statements, which I have recorded, the law is irrelevant within their premises, and the policies of the department is higher than the law of the United Kingdom. And these people have been heavily involved in committing crimes against humanity. And I know various people who are involved in this, because I've met them, I've seen them, I know who they are. And if they're all going to like join him, you know, when the police see one of their own members committing a crime, none of them are going to arrest the guy. You know, if they're all going to, you know, if you're failing to get rid of these people, your war with Russia is your war with Russia. Your war with all these people in your domestic population that is no longer going to pay these taxes and pay all that, they're not going to obey you anymore. You're just the way they treat nonsense, that's the way. And it's for child abuse, it goes way beyond sexy children stories as told by military personnel doing psychological operations. You know, the child abuse that they're involved in is so extreme, they need to use sexy children stories to distract people from the realities of what the regime is really up to. As people wake up to this, those people are going to be nothing. A gang of terrorists that took over Europe decide to betray their own people for it. Well, that's the world that I would like to see. And when I see them complaining about the Russians, not my problem. When I see them complaining about Donald Trump, not my problem. When I see them complaining, it's like, what is their complaint? That people are, that with power are holding them to account for crimes against humanity. People can destroy them, and it's like, we're all powerful. We're the government, and we can lie through our teeth. We can cheat like fuck. What are you going to do about it? You're just a small person with no power who's failing to bow low enough to us. And a day when the regime's kaput, the regime which existed in Britain from the end of World War II up until the European Union is now kaput, gone. The European Unionists know this. They're not going to admit it because they know it's a very serious crime. But their regime is even more extreme than Winston Churchill's regime. Because Winston Churchill was an anti-suicide clinic, he was opposed to governments killing their own people. It was a very religious society. Abortions were outlawed. Homosexuality was shunned. They certainly didn't encourage these lifestyles. You know, these people are engaged in, when you read everything that the United Kingdom as a sovereign state is required to protect by the rule of law, and you see the people in positions of power in it, you realise these are not our people. These are people who betrayed us for want of power over those they enslave. And this is going on in every country to some extent, but it is very, very poignant to me living in the European Union's dictatorship in the UK. I'm not a big, you know, patriotic, oh, I love Britain, because I was like an Irish Catholic. I was considered to be like a second class citizen among some people that would wave the Union Jack, you know. But, you know, whether, you know, I was like ethnic Irish or not, the people that were surrounded, that was my friends, that was my neighbours, you know. Some of them have not sold out, some of them have. Race, religion, etc. is irrelevant. You either did evil to your own people or you didn't. These people joined at the hip to do what they've done. And now they need propaganda and censorship and the destruction of, well, people that they pretend to be, you know, exercising responsibility for. They're murderers in positions of power they ought not to have. So when they're giving it, oh, look at this poor, beautiful maiden who's trying to escape the evil Russians. Remember, there is nothing that the Russians, the evilest Soviet Union that was depicted to me during the Cold War, pales by comparison to the actualities of what this regime of terror we're living in actually is. And that was like extremist propaganda, you know. It was like the Soviet Union was bad. The propaganda made them look really bad. And the really bad propaganda Soviet Union pales by comparison to what's going on in the European Union right here, right now. And they've got massive propaganda apparatus. They've got COVID tracking APs. And they're like, oh, it's because of a disease. The disease is the truth. Their regime collapses when the truth is told. The restrictions on people speaking things on the internet is people relating the truth that is a disease to their system of domination, control and deception. But through our perspective, it's their system that's a disease. We don't need COVID tracking APs and digital ID and censorship and propaganda. The regime that existed before these Federalists created a terrorist regime was such that even the Federalists had access to the media. They could appear on TV and say their piece. But since the Federalists took over, nobody but Federalists are allowed to be on television. Don't believe it. If there's people who are questioning, well, why don't you believe television? Try your best to explain to them, but if they're not willing to, you know, hear what you've got to say, if they're present, you know, they're asking you a question and then they're shouting, bawling in your face in the middle of answering that question, you're talking to a brick wall. It already knows. It's just using persuasion to convince you of a stuff that it kind of knows to be true. It doesn't want you to believe the truth, because the truth is, these people are bastards. Thanks very much for listening.